This is Stateside. I'm Bryce Huffman, sitting in for April Baer. The profession of teaching has long been associated with women. However, in the 1800s, black women were mostly excluded from that career. Detroiter Fannie Richards changed all of that in Michigan, and in the process, helped desegregate Michigan schools. Here to give us more details on this glass ceiling breaking woman is the Michigan History Center's Rachel Clark. Hi, Rachel. Welcome back to Stateside.
Hello.
So, Rachel, let's start at the beginning. How did Fannie Richards and her family first come to Detroit?
Fannie Richards was born in and around 1840, between 1840 and 1842, in Fredericksburg, Virginia, and her parents were free. According to her death record, her father was born in the British West Indies, and her mother was born in Virginia. They lived down there until the early 1850s when Fannie's father died, and her mother moved the family to Detroit shortly thereafter. So they actually show up in the 1860 census in Detroit.
Wow. What was Detroit's black population like back then?
Detroit's black population, and this is according to census records that I've looked at, they settled sort of in what is now Lafayette Park area. Lafayette Park at that time was Precinct 4 and Precinct 7, I believe. And so the black population that was living in that area, if you look at census records, they are skilled trades. They are shoemakers and tailors and carpenters and cooks. You really don't see general laborer as a job title. They are all very skilled workers, and they're living in that area and have very sort of middle-class expectations for education for their children. And so that's sort of how Fannie Richards comes into this story.
Ah, okay. And what was Fannie Richards' education like? Was she able to study in Michigan, or did she have to go elsewhere?
Most of her education was elsewhere. She started in Virginia, but her education was limited due to the fact that she was black. So she ended up going to Toronto for a little bit to study there. And she ended up in Germany as well, studying the kindergarten model, which was actually quite new in the mid-19th century. We sort of take for granted that kindergarten's been around for, you know, just ever. And it was new at that time. So she was in Germany studying the kindergarten model before she came back and settled in Detroit.
And when she came back to Detroit, what were schools like? Was she able to get a teaching position?
She was. So she actually was working in a private school, her first job. And in 1868, Detroit was opening Colored School Number 2. So Colored School Number 1 was in the Second Baptist Church. And so in 1868, they were opening a second school, and she applied and got a job there. So that's her first public school job in Detroit. But as soon as she started there, she realized that the inequities were startling and very apparent. So she didn't teach there very long before she started making moves to change the system in Detroit, because it was segregated and it was very unequal. It was glaringly unequal.
So I know there was a legal fight to desegregate Detroit schools. How exactly did that play out, and how was Fannie involved?
The case, this gets pretty interesting. In 1867, the legislature in Michigan enacted or added to the school law that, quote, all residents of any district shall attend any school. And this was their move to sort of desegregate mostly the urban schools at that time, Detroit being the largest urban center with a black population. The problem was Detroit public schools at that time was chartered separately and saw themselves outside of the state school system. And so although the legislature tried to desegregate in 1867, Detroit Public Schools was not following that. They saw it, that they sort of stood out differently. So the case that Fannie Richards was involved in and helped to kind of push along was called Workman versus the Detroit Board of Education. And this comes in 1868. Joseph Workman, who was a black man, he tries to enroll his son in the 10th Ward School, where he lived and paid taxes, and he was told he could not enroll his son there. So that ends up going to the Supreme Court. Second Baptist Church and Fannie Richards were part of this movement, and the Second Baptist Church helped fund the case. And the Supreme Court of Michigan ruled in favor of Workman and flat out said, this is me paraphrasing, but they basically said, yes, when the legislature in 1867 made the move to desegregate schools, they were actually talking specifically about Detroit. So there's no reason for Detroit public schools to see themselves as separate. So in 1869, that case came through and desegregated Detroit public schools.
After the Michigan Supreme Court ruled in favor of desegregation and Detroit schools became open to everyone, what did Fannie do?
She actually got a job at Everett Elementary School in 1871. This is the first integrated school under this new law, and it was right in her neighborhood. She lived by Lafayette Park as well, what is now Lafayette Park, and the school was right there. So she worked there the rest of her career for 40-plus years. She introduced kindergarten, which she had, again, learned about in Germany. And that was, she was sort of the main teacher at that school, and everybody knew her. And she really pushed for not only the integration of the schools, but the equality of schools within Detroit at that time.
Rachel, was Fannie Richards recognized for her accomplishments during her time, or is that something that kind of came after she died?
It kind of comes after. She's very active politically and socially in Detroit. She founded the Phyllis Wheatley Home for Aged Colored Ladies. She works with the Michigan Association of Colored Women. She was active in the suffrage movement. So she was known in the Detroit area, but her contributions to sort of the school system in Michigan and the women's movement in Michigan, she doesn't really get recognized until much later, long after she passes away. So she's known in Detroit, but the rest of the state doesn't really get to learn about her and know her until much later.
Ah, okay. And as a Detroiter myself, why do you think it's important for Detroiters and educators everywhere to really learn from Fannie Richards' life?
I think it's important for a couple of reasons. I taught school for 12 years, and just sort of understanding the education system in the state and how to fix problems when you see them. It is an imperfect system, and across the board from district to district, it's different. And I think that people can really learn from Fannie Richards that when you see a problem, when you see an inequality, when you see something that is unfair, and when you see something that is just plain wrong, that you can move to change it. It takes a lot, and it takes a group of people to do it, but it can be done. And she did what was right because it was the right thing to do. She had learned a lot from her experiences in other countries and wanted to bring her view of education to the students of Detroit, to the Black students of Detroit.
The life and achievement of Fannie Richards, Detroit's first Black educator. Rachel, thanks so much for sharing this with us.
Thank you very much.
Rachel Clark is an education specialist with the Michigan History Center.